Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
You see, I work for something greater than a man. And I expend my energy and my efforts for something on a higher level, and I try to achieve a higher standard than that. You see, I work for God in whatever I do.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
And with that, we are off to the races. Welcome, truth seekers, to Truth Infusion. This is the radio aspect of what we're doing at Truth Infusion Ministries. And I hope that all of you that are listening are very familiar with the ministry. But if you're not, I want to encourage you, if you will, to go to truthinfusion.com. And at truthinfusion.com, you're going to find out a lot of good information about what we have going on at the ministry. And better said would be that what God's got going on at the ministry. We're doing a whole lot of different things right now. And the Lord's given us the opportunity, empowering us to be a part of the kingdom in different ways and different aspects. And it is a blessing to just be involved with what He is doing. And this is one of my favorite parts of what we do. I love the radio ministry. It's something that we've been doing for about 3 years now, I guess, and God's continuing to expand that. And right now, I know that we have people all around the world that are taking the time to listen to what God is saying through Truth Infusion, and that is a mind-blowing thing to me. If you are listening today and you are perhaps in Iran or Israel or Ukraine, Spain, Germany, Russia, thank you very much. May God bless you where you are, brothers and sisters all around the world. I hope you've been with us these last few weeks. This is the third week in a teaching series that we've started that is about faith. And we're looking at the concept of faith and what Christian faith is all about through the lens of the patriarch Joseph. In the Old Testament, there are several chapters at the end of the book of Genesis that outline the details of the life of Joseph. But we also find him popping up in a couple of other places through the Word. And one of the verses that mentions Joseph in the New Testament is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. And this is the verse that we've used to kind of get the ball rolling, so to speak, with this teaching that I've entitled Faith in a Box Full of Bones. And that's a funny sounding title for a teaching series. But one of the things that we find out about Joseph is that his bones are mentioned more than once in the Bible. And so we're going to take a look at that a little later on in this teaching. But let's read this verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. And let's kind of get up to speed on what God's been saying through this teaching series. This verse says, by faith, which is one of our key words for this series, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Now that's, if you just were to read that one verse in Hebrews chapter 11, the roll call of the faithful there, you may wonder, what in the world is that talking about? Well, it's referring back to a verse in Genesis, right at the end of Joseph's life. His family, his loved ones are gathering around what would soon be his deathbed. He's coming to the end of his days, and Joseph knows it. And in Genesis chapter 50, verse 25, Joseph makes this proclamation. In fact, what he does is he asks for a promise or an oath from his loved ones. And here's what Genesis 50, 25 says. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. Well, where is here? Obviously, Joseph and his family are all living in Egypt. And I'm not going to review over the whole story of his life, but this is to the end of Joseph's life, and his father, Jacob, has already passed on, but his brothers and his own children and a large family of Joseph is now living in the Egypt area, in the land of Goshen that has been given to them by the Pharaoh that loved Joseph so much. And they have flourished and they have grown and they've been very successful in Egypt. But here's what Joseph knew. God had made a promise to Abraham. And the promise to Abraham wasn't that the children of Abraham, that the Hebrews, were going to live in Goshen, in Egypt, for the rest of their days. This was a temporary salvation, if you will, that God had given them. He brought them out of famine. Canaan and the surrounding lands were just being broken by famine. But because of God's favor on Joseph in Egypt, Egypt had plenty of grain and food, and Joseph was able to be reunited with his family, and Pharaoh, because he loved Joseph, allowed Joseph's family to have land, and the best land that Egypt could offer, actually, and he set them up in Egypt. And as great of a blessing as it was during that time, God's purpose and his plan for them was not that they would forever live and dwell and thrive in Egypt. And Joseph knew that. And at the end of Joseph's days, he knew that he would close his eyes in death in Egypt, but he also knew there would come a day, and he did not know exactly how that day would come, that God would revisit his children, and he would take them from Egypt, as wonderful and as necessary and as much of a blessing as it was at the time. He would take them from Egypt and bring them back to their land of promise. God had made a promise to Abraham. And yes, he had promised him a land. Everywhere that your foot would tread would be yours. Yes, he had given them Canaan, but the promise was even greater than that. And by faith, Joseph saw and remembered the promise that God had made to his fathers. And when he had his loved ones make this promise to him, that God would surely visit you, he knew that God would come to bring them back out of Egypt and take them back to the land of promise. And he made them promise, "Don't you leave me in this foreign land." For even though Joseph had spent the heydays of his life, if you will, in Egypt, he did not call Egypt home. To Joseph, a man of faith, his homeland was the land of promise. And Joseph, though he knew he would be buried in Egypt, wanted to know via a promise from his family that he would end up at home. And as we end this series, and we may end it today, we may not, but the closing portion of this series will show you and paint the ultimate picture of what Joseph was asking with the promise that he received for his bones. Last week, we began to look at the faith of Joseph. And I spent some time teaching on the fact that faith gives us correct identity. As a child of God, there is one identity that we are called to. We have been called to be in Christ, Christ in us, and Christ living through us is the definition of the correct identity of a Christian. We are to be Christ-like. Little Christ is actually what Christian means. And when our faith is correctly placed on Christ as the object of our faith, then Christ will be our identity. And those that look at us, our family, our loved ones, our co-workers, church members, but also just those in the world that perhaps don't even know our Jesus, when they look at us, if our faith is correct, our identity will be Christ, and they will be able to correctly identify us. But the main point that we made last week was that whatever you, child of God, truth seeker, whatever you identify with will soon become your identity. So if you are identifying yourself with the things of the world, there will come a time that the process will take place, and your identity, though it should be Jesus, will become that of the world. You will become identified with the world if that's where you place your identity. And the whole point of this in Joseph's life was that he never identified himself with Egypt. And I said it a few minutes ago, even though he spent the heyday of his life, the great moments of his life, the most fantastic things that Joseph accomplished through the Lord were in and through the resources of Egypt. He was considered even by the Egyptians to be the second in command in the entire empire, under Pharaoh only. But even though he had the wealth of Egypt, the position in Egypt, the power given to him by Pharaoh in Egypt, Joseph never identified himself as an Egyptian. He kept his identity as a Hebrew, as a child of Abraham, as a child of the promise. Without properly placed faith, you will experience a change of identity. And that was basically what I wanted to get us across last week. Now, we're going to move forward a little bit today. And the next thing I want to do is I want to look at the life of Joseph, and I want to consider this fact, point number two in this lesson. Faith ties us to our God-given purpose. Faith ties us to our God-given purpose. I hope that you understand this. And I know there's times in everyone's life where we may come to doubt. But I hope that you understand, especially if you're a child of God, you were born with a purpose. You were born with a divine calling over your life. So many of us place the concept of calling when it comes to Christianity to the pastors and the evangelists or the missionaries or those that are in those out front, well-spoken face positions in the kingdom, the leaders of the ministries and whatever, the people that you see on the TV or hear on the radio. But this is what I want you to know. If you have been saved, if you are justified, if you have relationship with Christ, you have a ministry and a kingdom purpose. God brought you in here with a purpose. He called you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You have been called by God. And if you've been called, you have a calling. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you think and you have the mindset of your own self that you are of no use to the kingdom of God and to your church or whatever area that God's placed you in. I want to tell you, I will not back up from this. You were born with a purpose and a divine calling over your life. I love Proverbs 19:21. It says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." You've got a purpose. Joseph had an obvious and powerful and necessary purpose. But I want to make a point about the purpose of Joseph's life. Joseph did not tie himself to the purpose of Egypt. Now, he was very involved with the plans of Egypt. In fact, were it not for Joseph, Egypt would have suffered greatly like the rest of the lands around Egypt were suffering during the famine time. It was a dream that God had given to Pharaoh that Pharaoh had no idea what it meant, did not know what to do with it, was very confused by it. Pharaoh brought in all of his soothsayers and his wise men, and he was wanting someone to tell him, what does this dream mean? But none of the Egyptians could do it. Here's Joseph sitting in jail in prison for something he had not done, falsely accused and in prison. Pharaoh has him brought out of prison. Joseph, through the power of God and the Holy Spirit came upon him, was able to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And the interpretation of the dream was a warning to say, you are about to have 7 years of plenty. The crops are going to yield in great measure. You're going to have more than you know what to do with. But use it and store it and take care of it wisely, because following these 7 years of plenty will be 7 years of famine like you've never seen. And it was for this very purpose that Joseph was brought into Egypt. Now, if you're on the outside looking in, You might think the only reason Joseph ended up in Egypt was because his mean brothers sold him into slavery. Well, I want you to know something, child of God. Nothing happens in your life that is coincidence, that is by chance. Even the things that appear to be very bad, difficult, struggled times, times of travail and tribulation, even those times, unless they are something that you've caused by your own hand, in other words, unless you've fallen into some difficult and deep sin, and you're dealing with the consequences of your own sinfulness, if there are circumstances and situations happening in your life that are outside of your control and you didn't bring those things, you better know that God either specifically caused them to happen or He allowed them to happen because He wanted to use those things for His greater plan and for your good. Joseph was thrown into an empty well and sold into slavery by his brothers. And the world might look at that and say, what a bunch of jerks that would do that to their brother. But if you want to look at the big picture, God knew exactly what He was doing. He needed Joseph in Egypt because there was a time coming that the people of God, the Hebrew children, were going to need to be rescued from a great famine, and God was making a way for them. Joseph was very involved in the plans of Egypt. He is the one that put forth the plan on how to save and retain and store the excess harvest that Egypt would have for 7 years. And then he was also the one that would be able to dole out those all of that excess in the storehouse to the lands and the people that would come in a time of famine needing and seeking food. And Joseph was in charge of all of that. He was very involved in the plans of Egypt, but he did not tie his purpose to the plans of Egypt. He was very involved in the future of Egypt. Egypt would have fallen and crumbled at the hands of this famine if they had not known it was coming. And Joseph was very involved in the fact that Egypt was going to be prosperous and continue forward. But Joseph never tied himself to the future of Egypt. Joseph tied himself to the purpose of Israel. His faith kept him tied to his God-given purpose. You see, Joseph remembered the stories about the promise that his daddy and his grandfather told him as he was growing up. And he knew that in some way he had a purposed role in that story. We have the benefit of looking back over the Word of God now from our perspective and reading exactly everything that Joseph did and accomplished and the type of Christ that he was as he went and he saved his people from destruction. And Joseph may not have known exactly what he would do or how he would do it or how he was going to be about God's business, but he knew that his role was not to be somehow processed into Egypt and become an Egyptian and take on their culture and their faith and their religion and make himself an Egyptian because he had been cast aside by his own people. He never did. He kept his faith tied to the God of Israel. And because of that, he was used to benefit Egypt, yes. But ultimately, he was used as the tool that would save God's people, the Hebrews, from destruction when the famine came. Let me give you a real-life example of this. Unless you've been a part of these radio programs for a while, you may not realize this, but I'm actually an RN, and I work in home health a few days a week. And I work for a man named Ryan Kelton. He has a home health, Kelton Home Health. I'm one of the case managers there. I love doing that. I get to get into the homes with several patients and families, and God gives me opportunities on a regular basis to minister and to pray with people, and it's a part of our life, not to mention that it helps provide for my family and for the ministry. But here's one of the things that I've said many times. Wherever you're working, mine happens to be home health, but whatever your livelihood is, whoever your employee is, I want you to know this. You may be employed by them, but you do not work for them. If you're a child of God, I'm going to explain what I mean, so give me just a moment. If you're a man of God, woman of God, if you're a young adult and you're just really getting into your career, or if you've been doing this for several years now, and you're a veteran at your job. You're one of the ones that people look up to because you've been there for so long now. I want you to think about it this way. You may be employed by them as I am employed by Ryan at Kelton Home Health, but I do not work for him. You see, I work for something greater than a man. And I expend my energy and my efforts for something on a higher level, and I try to achieve a higher standard than that. You see, I work for God no matter where I am or what I'm doing, what day of the week it is, whether I'm in a church ministering, whether I'm preaching a revival, whether I'm sitting behind this radio microphone, or whether I'm at work operating as an RN. I work for God in whatever I do. And you see, I have to keep my faith locked on Jesus Christ. He has called me with a purpose. And my purpose isn't necessarily where I'm employed. My purpose is tied to my faith. My faith is in Jesus Christ. He is, in fact, the author and the finisher of my faith. And He has called me to a greater work. You see, Joseph was employed by Pharaoh in Egypt. Ultimately, in the sense that it is what he did most every day, Pharaoh was telling Joseph what to do and what not to do, but Joseph may have been employed by him. But in Joseph's eyes, and because of where his faith was positioned, he did not consider himself to be working for Pharaoh, the emperor of Egypt. Joseph worked for Jehovah. His faith was tied to the faith of his fathers, and even though it meant benefiting the land of Egypt by his decisions and what he was doing from 8 to 5, if you will, Joseph was operating based on the promise and the purposed role that he had in God Almighty. You were born with a purpose, with a divine calling of your life over your life. And I know you've got plans and concepts and ideas for what you want your life to look like and what you might do a year from now or 5 years from now. But I recall Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of God that will stand. So if you, Christian, if your purpose is not God's purpose, rest assured that you're not going to be fulfilled and satisfied in your life, and there's a very good chance that the reason you have other purposes in your heart and mind and things you are striving for outside of God's purpose for you is because your faith is not in the right place. If your faith is locked on Jesus Christ as your all in all, for everything that you're going to need every day, you're going to begin to see and seek the mind of God and the mind of Jesus for everything you're going to do every day. And if that is where you are and what you're striving after, you're going to begin to see your purposes fall to the side and the purposes of God begin to take center stage in your life. But on a very real level, I want you to understand this also. If you are a born-again Christian and you are striving for purposes and plans that are outside of what God's will and calling for you is, you can just believe this. You are never going to be fulfilled in your life. C.S. Lewis, one of my very favorite Christian thinkers and writers of modern times, he made this statement. He said, "The place for which God designs us." And when he says this, I don't believe he's talking about a specific location on the planet Earth. I believe he's talking about the purpose for our life. God's calling and design for your individual life. Let me read this quote. It's a very fantastic quote by C.S. Lewis. "The place for which God designs us in His scheme of things is the place we are made for. When we want to be something other than the thing God wants us to be, we must be wanting what, in fact, will not make us happy." It's an interesting thought, but it's basically what I'm talking about today. C.S. Lewis just really summarized it probably better than I have. If you are not operating within the purpose that God's given you, if your faith is not fixed on the right object, and the only thing that is the right object is Jesus Christ, as the all in all, the everything that you need for every moment in your life. That means you've got to get your eyes off of you. You've got to get your eyes off of anyone else, any other human being that you're looking to lead you through this life. You can't depend on yourself for that. You can't depend on anyone else for that. Jesus and Jesus alone is that person. That's why the writer of Hebrews would say, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And if your faith is tied to Jesus, then you are going to, almost in an automatic sense, if you're seeking after Jesus that way, you will begin to see His purposes for your life begin to take root and manifest themselves. And it's only then that you as the creation will begin to understand what you've been created for. And that's what I think C.S. Lewis was saying when he said, in God's scheme of things, the place that we were made for, you weren't made for two or three different things. You pick which one you want the most. No, it doesn't look that way. God has a specific plan and purpose for your life. And if you are striving after anything else apart from what He has designed for you, then what you're really looking for, C.S. Lewis would say, is something that can never make you happy. Or in another sense, say this, something that will never satisfy you. Something that will never fulfill you. Some of you are operating today and thinking about it like this. I've been going all this time wondering why my life's just not making sense. I'm going 100 miles an hour, doing everything I can to make this happen, and I just am not satisfied. Perhaps I can say this as we're getting ready to close. Without properly placed faith, you will tie yourself to a false or a wrong purpose. Joseph had the opportunity to be tied to all manner of things, but his faith was on the right thing, and he was able to be used by God. God was with Joseph in Egypt, and amazing things came from that man's life. It is proper faith that ties us to our God-given purpose. Think about it and keep on seeking the truth. We'll see you next week.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.